got me sitting in the back corner, 'cause I'm feeling kinda different when I'm picturing us kissing in your marble counter kitchen in the fourth quarter of those finals that we're missing. 'Cause I'm sitting in the corner wishing. And your boyfriend's living seven borders away, and I know you say there's no way, but I'm picturing us kissing in your marble counter kitchen in the fourth quarter of those finals that we're missing. 'Cause I'm sitting in the corner wishing. But she's just looking for her best friend.
Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark. Joined live and in color by co-host Jeff.
Yes, my phone records in color.
Ha! Welcome to the 23rd century, bitches.
Yes.
Jeff, welcome to back to the Movie Draft House.
Thank you.
Inside the draft
the
house.
In the Casa de Dojo.
Casa House.
Yes.
But before we get into what we watched this week, we got to plug some music. And music this month has been brought to you by the Montreal Canadian alt-pop band group project with their song MCK. We've spent 5 weeks, and we still don't know what MCK stands for.
Nope.
So we're just going to leave it at that.
I think McChicken.
Yeah. Maybe. K Fried C.
Yeah. Oh, I love K Fried C.
That's a recall. Hit the back catalog for Matthew McConaughey month.
Killer Joe.
Anyways, hit the show notes.
Should have got a drink.
Oh, yeah.
Keep doing your thing.
Yeah. Hit the show notes, where you'll find the links to all their social media accounts. They're doing big things. Give them a like, a follow, and a subscribe. You can get their music wherever you get your music from. Jeff. Oh, okay, good.
Got it in my eye. It burns.
Jeff, what did we watch this week?
I don't know. All right, so this month, November, has been Toy Month. Movies based on or featuring toys. And so we saved the best for last, maybe.
Yeah.
The reason we're doing this theme is because I wanted to watch Barbie and I hadn't seen it yet. So we watched Barbie from 2023, starring Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, Issa Rae, Michael Cera, Simi Liu, Will Ferrell, Kate McKenna.
Ben, who's the guy who plays the villain? He's one of the Kens. But he plays the villain in the Secret Wars Marvel show. Ben Kingsley, something.
It ain't Ben Kingsley was not in
no,
this
no,
film.
No, no, no. Ben Kingsley something.
Junior.
anyways. It's directed by Greta Gerwig, who I think her previous film before this was...
there's Lady Bird, Little Women.
Lady Bird, Little Women.
You
have it on the computer that's in front of you?
Nope. But I can here in a moment.
Oh, we're a bunch of professionals here on the podcast.
Let's see. Mistress America, Greenberg, White Noise. Those might be her acting roles. Because she's also an actor. So as far as directing goes,
yeah,
Barbie, Little Women, Lady Bird, Weekends and Nights.
Oh, okay.
Nights and Weekends. That's it. And then her upcoming film is a Chronicle of Narnia movie?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's what commercial success will do for you, right?
That just seems like a weird leap to me, but... So Greta Gerwig is... on her way to being a household name, if she's not already, right? I mean, certainly having a billion-dollar movie will put you in the right place. But I think for me, like, I've seen most of her work. Like, I've seen Lady Bird. I haven't watched Little Women.
Little Women's interesting is because the film is set primarily... It's like watching a stage performance, right? Where everybody's on stage and your focus is just on the dialogue. And these women come together because they're all being,
well, I'm familiar. I've seen Little Women, but just not Greta Gerwig's Little Women.
Right. And it's very good for the film being what it is, where it's just a movie about these group of women essentially in just one room, It's very good. It's very it is the dialogue is thrilling in it. She is a very talented filmmaker, as evidenced by the movie we just watched.
Yeah, so you had seen this before. This is my first viewing.
Yeah, I went and saw it in theaters.
And I believe I'm on record on this podcast very early on, after a picture of Ryan Gosling came out, of me saying, you were like, hey, that new Barbie movie. I said, that movie's going to save the world. I did say that, and I believe I did it on this podcast.
Bonus points if you can give me the episode.
Yeah, I can't. But if you can, please do. But I did not expect it to be as existential as it was.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it was going to be smart and savvy, and I knew it was going to be a feminist piece.
But it's also not a, I mean, it is a feminist piece, but it's also not a feminist piece, right?
Well, it's a well-balanced feminist piece. It's not a hit piece on men or anything. Like, it's,
I mean,
it's a well-told, balanced feminist piece. It's about what it does, which is kind of genius, is because Ken has always been made for Barbie. Barbie, Ken essentially becomes what women tend to be in a lot of media. Their only goal is to get married and fall in love. And the only way Ken exists if he has the attention of Barbie.
Right.
And it works so well to, I wouldn't call this an allegory because it pretty much says it, but works well as showing that contrast, as if you're a man like myself and you watching Barbie, it allows us to see and feel what women feel like being objectified and all of that stuff. And I think it's just sort of genius in the way it's written and made, and none of it feels unnatural. Like, it just, the history of Barbie the toy was made to tell this story. It feels like they the story fits into that world. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't try to break it. It's so genius because it's, we've seen other movies based on products that just don't work because they try to tell a story that isn't about the toy. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I'm trying to think of a parallel, but I feel like G.I. Joe isn't about G.I. Joe being toys.
Right.
It's about war, right, and violence.
There's a story that the toys take place in.
Right. And whereas this very much is all about the history of Barbie, like, all of the things you saw are based on real things that have been made and released by the Mattel company. And I'm wondering, like, how much input Mattel had, because
it's a hit piece on Mattel
to a degree. I don't think it's a direct, like a direct hit piece on Mattel.
Right.
I don't think it's that hard.
I think Mattel at some point realized that they were making toys that objectified women. Right.
No, I don't think that they realized. I think someone told them.
Sure.
It comes down to money, right?
Sure,
so we can
get
into the company. And I think Will Ferrell at the end of the movie, where one of the main characters is like, hey, how about we make ordinary Barbie? You know, she's not president. She's just a woman, you know, like, and he's like, that's not going to sell. And then his CFO or whoever's like, actually, it's going to make money. It's a great idea. That's all it comes to.
Right.
Mattel is like any other corporation.
Sure.
The only reason they adjusted and changed is because of political or consumer pressure in the changing times. They would still be making all the same mistakes they were as if they thought it was the best way to make money, because that's the way corporations work, all of them.
Well, and this movie couldn't have been made 10 years ago, right? It just, I don't think this movie could have been. I don't, and also don't think it would have been as successful. It could have been made probably.
Well,
would have
I
been
think
as successful?
There's
no.
been tons of Barbie content.
Sure, but like they're animated
right.
films, and now, they're meant to tell the stories of Barbie in, you know, the holiday season and Barbie in the fairy tale
think
setting.
We had to wait for Greta Gerwig to be ready to make this movie, because I don't think. And it goes without saying, I don't think any one person necessarily can recreate another person. But this movie is so smart
yeah.
and genius that I'm glad it wasn't made before.
Did Gerwig write this movie?
I believe she had a heavy hand in it. I know that Margot Robbie also had a lot in getting it made.
Yeah.
Like it was a concerted effort. But yeah, Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach.
Get to his filmography. I think him and Gerwig are kind of a pair, kind of like Spielberg and his guy. I feel like this movie 10 years ago from an optic standpoint, from a being in the right place at the right time standpoint, doesn't do as well as because the world wasn't in its place in the place that it is now, as far as a feminist movement, as far as, hey, women can stand as on the same podium as men. They're on the same pedestal. They're more successful. And just this, and like the movie makes fun of itself. It breaks that fourth, you know, that fourth wall of when Helen Mirren, the narrator, you know, she chimes in where what's her face? Margot Robbie's Barbie character is telling America Ferrera's character, who plays the mom in the film, "I don't feel pretty." And Helen Mirren, the narrator, chimes in. And she's like, "Note to the filmmakers: Margot Robbie's not the actress to cast for the."
It's hard to get this point across, right. Like when Margot Robbie's the one saying it, because every viewer's like,
right.
"No, like right. even without makeup and or anything else, Margot Robbie is still stunner,
yes,
right?" So, that was really a really great moment to kind of add that self awareness and the movie is. Doesn't take itself serious, but it's also serious.
Yeah.
Right? All the commentary and the context on the patriarchy and all that is very serious, and yet it does it in such a light way, right? Like the way Ken learns about the patriarchy is funny. The way he incorporates it into Barbie Land is funny.
Right.
Like all of it is done with such a light hand, but yet the commentary still shines through, and because of its being so light, it doesn't feel like super preachy. It just works.
No, and the amount of actual heart in this film.
Oh Lord, here he is using my word.
I mean, but it's real. At different moments, you know, I find myself thinking about, hey, I got two daughters, you know. Is this, you know, something that they go through, mm-hmm. You know, is this something that I cannot help them with being a dad? You know, and so it, you know, there is a lot of commentary in this film, a lot. And if the movie wasn't so sure-handedly directed, I think it kind of weighs on you. But because the film is set up the way it is, the sets, just the lightheartedness of certain characters,
mm-hmm.
like Alan.
Alan's the best.
He serves no other purpose than to provide that.
Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Like, there was a point where Michael Cera was almost like oversaturated.
Yeah.
And then he kind of went away. And now it's like always great to see him, like, because he radiates self-awareness,
yeah.
like his awkwardness. He knows that's his shtick. And yet when you get to the scene where he gets in the fight with the construction workers,
yeah.
you're like, this is, it's so funny. I really like this Alan character. I like, and again, it's them using the back catalog
right, of Barbie
yeah.
to
have, this great character, you know, the only other male character in Barbie land not named Ken. It's really awesome.
You know, and all right, so let me ask you this. Was it any type of weird to you to see such, I guess, masculine actors, right? Simu Liu. I use the term masculine, but like last time we saw Simu Liu was...
The Rings of Punching.
Yes. what the fuck was the name of the movie?
Shang-Chi and the...
Shang-Chi. I'm pretty sure the pronunciation is Shang-Chi.
Thank you.
But, right, yes. That's the last time we saw him. And he's a badass in that film. And here in this movie, he's playing Ken. And Ken, in most of the film, Ken is a very feminine representation.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't agree with that, I should say. I would say that Ken is more...
So I'm talking about Simu Liu's Ken.
I don't think that he's... I think they're all shaved, right? None of them have hair other than on their head.
Correct.
None of them are particularly macho.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So I'll agree with that.
Good word.
But that's because they're modeled after Ken. How many Ken dolls are made with a beard? I'm sure someone, they may have had one. I don't know. But none of them are...
I don't know.
You know.
Yeah. No, that's... and, you know, and it's interesting you say that is because I noticed that when the Kens take over Barbie Land, Simu Liu's Ken has a beard.
Does he?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Which is interesting because I picked up on that watching it this time around.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, I didn't think it was an oversight, but.
I think it's on purpose.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, it's just this film has everything going for it. It's got great, like you talk about Margot Robbie and Baby Goose, you know, being just kind of otherworldly, and maybe not Margot Robbie to an extent, but Ryan Gosling. When's the last time you saw Ryan Gosling in a role like this?
There aren't any roles like this.
Well, I'm saying like. You know, making just kind of out of Ryan Gosling's body experience. He doesn't have any.
I don't know what you mean. Like,
no, I'm saying like he's a talented actor, but when is the last role he had like this?
There aren't any roles like this. I don't.
You're saying there aren't any roles like this. I'm telling you to compare this role in a totality to something else.
That he's done. Think of the other guy or the nice guys. He's kind of a loser in that movie.
Okay. Okay. Right. I would agree with you that there aren't any other roles like this previous. However, just trying to correlate a point.
Okay. All right.
I mean, you're being very right now.
No, I just, well, yes, I took what you said literally.
Correct. You did. Maybe you should be more figuratively.
Maybe you should choose better words.
Maybe. Listen,
we're gonna have the first ever live throwdown here in the Draft House. We can't fight in front of the Bromance Brothers.
Do you think Gosling's performance is award worthy?
I also, well, I don't know that the award people will give him one because
I
they
bet
look
you
for
does.
Very.
I bet you they do.
Well, you would know better than me, but. It doesn't feel like an Oscar performance in the sense that he doesn't break down and cry and do a lot of yelling.
Did. I mean, he did cry.
Yeah, but it was funny, right? They don't like funny. The people in the Academy have sticks up their asses and they don't like funny. And this movie was too funny for them. Now, I think Greta Gerwig will win director.
Yeah.
I think Margot Robbie should win best actress. I don't know if Baby Goose will, but I think that he could deserve it.
It would be for supporting actor, right? I don't think he would get nominated as a lead actor.
Right.
Margot Robbie would be
so,
lead actress.
So I mean, yeah,
here,
actually, but if he could be nominated as supporting, he might, you know.
Yeah, like, I think that's the route here, but he's so good in this role. And because he doesn't do many comedic roles, right? They're always
Crazy Stupid Love.
Was that?
That's a comedy.
I know the film's a comedy, but was he comedic in that movie?
Yes.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
I think Ryan Gosling's a funny actor,
but he could be a funny actor. It doesn't mean he's a comedian by trade.
Well, no.
Just like, I don't know. All right. You're purposely trying to.
Don't talk while you're doing that, because then you have to try to edit
it. Draft house.
I'm not trying to throw down. I'm simply disagreeing. That doesn't mean I'm personally attacking you.
I didn't say you're personally attacking me.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying that I could see him being nominated and winning for this role is because it's so far out of his norm that, and the movie is so good because of him, partly because of him, that even if the Academy, who notoriously does not favor comedies or comedic performances, that they could give him a nomination. And,
sure.
And, you know, and I agree with, I think this movie, I mean, you talk about set design, you talk about costumes.
They're definitely, the costume designer deserves a nomination.
Yeah, give him a raise.
Set designer, whoever had a hand in the way this movie looks, absolutely should be nominated and win an Academy Award.
Well, so did you like Will Ferrell's
performance? I always love Will Ferrell.
I feel like he was playing Will Ferrell.
He's always Will Ferrell, right? Like, you're not. Like, everything he does is still the same. And I think Will Ferrell's one of the funniest people on the planet. But there's nothing special about this performance other than it's just Will Ferrell being funny.
Right.
I loved the thing where he's like, don't push the button. I'm pushing the button when they get in the elevator. I normally ride shotgun. And just him sort of asserting his manliness over in the most childish way over these other men. So I think that has to do more with the casting. Like, whoever decided, if Greta Gerwig decided, hey, Will Ferrell needs to play this character because this is right in his wheelhouse, then I think that has more to do with it than anything. I think if I'm pointing out a breakout performance, to me, it's not even a breakout performance, but it's Margot Robbie. She smashes this movie.
Sure.
I think all of, like, she has the old, not the only arc, like they, a lot of people have arcs, but her arc is the most focal point, obviously, because she's stereotypical Barbie. And she goes from everything's great, yesterday was great, today's great, tomorrow's going to be great, to, hey, you guys ever think about death?
Right. And it comes in the middle of a dance number, right?
And it's really good. And then it becomes a human tale. It becomes a tale about being a woman in the world and the expectations that are put on you. Like, you can be pretty, but not too pretty. Like, you need to be their mom, but not remind them of their mom.
Right.
And I just appreciated her arc and how things kind of unravel for her. It's not all at once. It is sort of a snowball down to when she hits rock bottom, even to the point she says, this is the lowest point I've been. I really liked the turn that the little girl wasn't the one playing with the Barbies, but the mom was. I thought that was smart.
Did you recognize the little girl?
No.
She was, I don't remember the character, like the comic book character's name, but she's the little girl in Logan that Logan saved.
No.
Yeah. Look it up.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. You keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
She's the one with the claws.
Yeah, she would have been
X2 or I don't know. I don't
X23.
Yeah. But yeah, so I agree with you. Margot Robbie is
everybody in his movie's name is Barbie.
the smash standout. I thought, and there's a lot of cameos here. You get a lot of people that pop. John Cena pops up as Ken Mermaid.
It's like John Cena was made to be a Ken.
Right.
And when he pops up as this, you know, Thor
right.
shaped, you know, goddess or god of the sea, I just thought that was so great.
You know, and just every, there is no like real bad, not bad, but there is no scene here that wasn't well crafted, that just felt like filler. It just, there, every turn, the movie is very thought out. The story is very thought out. If anything, if I could gripe about anything, it's probably the product placement of Chevy.
I can agree with that. I don't see. So the actress that played the daughter in this is Ariana Greenblatt, but she does not appear to have been in Logan. So let me cross-reference. You keep doing your thing.
You're supposed to let me talk out of my ass.
No, that's never been something we allow. Go back to any episode in the back catalog.
No, it's just, you know, Chevy is an obvious sponsor of the film here.
Yeah, the whole driving scene is ripped right out of a Michael Bay movie.
And, you know, and from seeing other Greta Gerwig commentary to watching some interviews with her, and she's very much a, hey, I'll put this in my movie, but don't expect me to remark favorably about it.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if, like, you know, the whole Chevy product placement was, you know, just her going, yeah, you know, we'll take your cars in our vehicle or in my movie, but we're just gonna, it's gonna be the stereotypical car chase scene, you know.
I didn't think it was battery. It was fine.
Like, no, right, right. But it goes out of its way, right?
It wasn't Michael Bay levels, to be honest, because Michael Bay levels are, because zoom right in on yeah. that Bud Light bottle. Like, there's shots in movies of Michael Bay's dedicated to product placement.
Who's the girl in Logan?
The girl in Logan is Daphne Keene, who has not been in much else. She was in the TV series His Dark Materials, a film called Anna, and really, that's about it. Where did
I get that this girl here is the same girl from, I don't know where.
I don't know.
From.
They are not, though.
Okay. Debunked once again.
Leave it to the internet.
That's why you're here. yeah.
Who knows what he'd be telling you? What was the one before on? Someone was Masterpiece Kid or something.
Oh, no, that's Lil Bow Wow.
Oh, that's right. Lil Bow Wow was whose kid? Master P?
Master P.
Which was not true, which was another great one.
Listen, the movie Sinbad exists, right?
The movie Sinbad?
Yeah. Isn't that what it's called, Sinbad? Not the comedian.
No, I know that. But movies about Sinbad.
No, no, no. It's the movie where... What's the actor? He plays the character Sinbad.
There are a lot of movies called Sinbad.
Yeah, but there's one that the internet says doesn't exist, but I've seen it.
Oh, no, it doesn't exist. I'm going to believe the internet just because I podcasted with you a while.
You know, this movie's brisk, right? We're talking an hour, 50 some minutes.
Feels brisk. It's so much fun.
Like, it is fun. Like, it's the only movie I can remember that has all of this commentary, this type of story, but also has multiple musical numbers.
Really great dance numbers.
Right. Choreography is fantastic here. We could have watched this during musical month.
I would argue it's borderline, but
I mean, sure. there's only one really musical scene.
Yeah,
where the character sings.
Yeah, right. And I guess that does qualify, but I love that scene, and I love the dance number. Ryan Gosling's
got a really good voice.
Yeah, he sung in La La Land, which is a
That's
film
true.
I really like.
That's true.
But I like too that the kids start coming together. and holding hands and stuff, which is something that is not macho.
Right.
Like macho.
Well, I mean, toucans kiss him on the cheek in the dance scene, right?
One of which is the guy's name who I love this guy, Nakuti Gatwa. And I know I'm saying his name wrong, but he is going to be the new Doctor Who. And he's in a fantastic show called Sex Education on Netflix, which is where I learned about him.
That's where you learned about sex?
Yeah. Did you know that when... Sex. Never mind.
Sex Education.
That's, well...
It'd be appropriate
if
you did.
It's a story. It's not an actual... I don't know what sex is yet.
Ben Kingsley Adir. That's the guy's name.
Oh, no. Kingsley.
Kingsley Ben Adir?
There you go.
Oh, okay. I was on the right
track.
Ben
Kingsley Adir.
I was on the right track. Anyway, he plays the villain in the... In the Marvel or the Disney Plus show.
I didn't watch it.
It wasn't great.
Yeah,
but
I've fallen off on the
but he plays the big bad in that, which is interesting, is because this movie is very it's a just different. I like that Greta Gerwig got actors that maybe haven't done these types of roles before, and said, hey, I'm gonna make this movie. And she's got such this, maybe, I'm actually putting words in everybody's mouth, but she's got this like kind of command in Hollywood right now that where people are like, oh, you're making this Barbie movie and you want me to sing and dance? Let's go.
Well, I think like the from my understanding, from a podcast I listened to called Do Go On, there's an episode on Barbie, but from my understanding, Greta Gerwig didn't have to ask very hard.
Right.
Like it was like, hey, do you want a yes? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like I said, I heard that, you know, Margot Robbie had a lot to do with getting this going.
Yeah.
It was a project she was passionate about. And I think you could tell why. Like it's so smart. I think it might be the best movie based on a toy.
I don't think you're wrong.
it may not be tough competition.
No, right? and it's not, but you're right.
But I can't think of anything else that's based on a pre-existing toy line. Because, I mean, honestly, what do we have to work with? G.I. Joe, both movies were fine to suck. And then...
We have the movies we've watched this
Transformers.
Month. Yeah, all the Transformers films.
Which are bad.
Right. Right, no, there's
Ninja Turtle, but that was a comic first. So yeah,
there's nothing else like the film we just watched, and
but I think it could be a great, because it made so much money and Hollywood has no ideas. Someone's gonna see this and say, okay, what other toy do we turn into this meta sort of film, whether it works or otherwise,
right?
You know, so I could definitely.
What toy would you want modeled after this movie?
The toys I played with were all based on shows, though, like Ninja Turtles.
Ah, true. Power Rangers.
Oh, I need Greta Gerwig, Edgar Wright.
Please make a Power Rangers movie.
Someone make a, like, because...
Give the Red Ranger an existential crisis about being the Red Ranger.
It needs to be the same thing. I think that she's smart enough to come up with and see some sort of commentary in there and deliver it in a light and wonderful way while keeping... The reason I don't like the new Power Rangers movie is because it's not really the Power Rangers. Sure, right. They all wear their costumes and have big mechs, but that's not what the Power Rangers are. They're corny, you know.
It was Transformers, but with Power Rangers, essentially. That's what I would relate to that, like,
Power Rangers. I would agree with that. I think, to me, I really just want like this, where at the beginning of the film, the acting isn't great. And I'm using air quotes if you're not watching the video, because I wouldn't say the acting isn't great. They're doing what they're asked. But the performances are very, hey, everything's great. Everything's happy. Everything's fine.
Right.
And it comes across a little corny.
Sure.
Intentionally.
Right.
And I think that that's what I want. I want someone who knows Power Rangers, and I've said this before on other episodes, that knows Power Rangers. And I think I said it on the Speed Racer episode, because I love what the Wachowskis did with that. And anyway, we're way off topic, but just someone make a good Power Rangers movie that loves Power Rangers.
And I believe the opening sequence for the Barbie the movie here was kind of a remake shot for shot from Citizen Kane.
Oh, with the girls breaking the dolls,
yes,
and stuff?
Yes. I believe that's what
I've
read.
I've never seen Citizen Kane.
I haven't either.
We need to watch it one. I'm going to pick it one time.
Oh, God.
I need to watch it. It's supposed to be the greatest movie ever made.
It is, right. But I believe I read that Gerwig went shot for shot, where it's a recreation of a scene from Citizen.
Now watch. When we watch it, they won't,
it won't be
there.
There
you'll,
right,
just be talking. Like, Mark, what were you talking about? Mark is the guy who's like, I heard once and didn't look it up.
Why would I look it up if I've heard it?
I actually appreciate it, and it gives a lot of content to the pod.
Anyways, would you put this as the best movie we've watched this year?
Beam and Raji are behind me. I'd have to look at the rest of it. I don't. What else have we watched? Because there was another movie that I was like,
I mean, we're on like episode 50
of this
year,
and I can't look at my phone. Oh, I do have my computer in front of me. But I don't know, because I mean, RR is going to be up there.
Yeah. There was another one we watched.
There was one we watched recently where I couldn't stop raving about it. Let me pull up our list here.
I don't know. It's this film has everything you want in a good movie. It's entertaining. It appeals to all audiences. It's not just like you think about it. And like, there was
Puppet Master. That was the one we were raving about.
That's correct. there was, you know, Dallas Buyers Club is another great one. There was a lot of pushback on this film when it released. Maybe lots of heavy, you know, exaggeration, but
we saw some good movies this year.
We have seen good
movies. Benedetta.
Yeah.
not Benedetta.
No, it was a good movie.
Good.
Right.
A Bearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Yeah. That's gonna make the top five.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, it's gonna make the top five an interesting choice. But do you remember when this movie released? And there was like pushback on, like, from, and honestly, there's, it has a lot to do with probably political
or something. Yeah. Yes. I only ever, and it could be the media circles I take in.
Right.
I only ever heard good things about the movie. Like, right. I just heard how much people loved it and all of that
stuff.
Well,
there was a lot of, and you know, majority of it comes from a Fox News audience, right? Of it being anti-men.
They didn't watch the movie then.
Right. No. Like, and they wouldn't have, right?
It's anti-patriarchy.
Sure.
And that doesn't mean it's anti-men.
But it's also anti-establishment, right?
It's because we haven't established patriarchy.
But that's the audience that it's offending, right?
Right.
And so I just remember hearing that and going, hold on. And when I saw it, I was like, holy shit, this is a really good movie. I don't understand how anybody could watch that movie and go, oh yeah, this movie hates men.
So what the movie does in a great way, where at the end of it, Barbie establishes that she's not in love with Ken. She really has no love interest, and there's no chemistry.
Well, even Ryan Gosling goes, hey, can I stay over? And she's like, why? And he goes, I don't even know.
Right. But they, even when they both start to develop emotion, she's like, I'm not into you. And then she, like, because Ken essentially is representing the stereotypical woman in film.
Right.
She says to him, you need to figure out who you are and become who Ken is,
right?
And that's the message. The message isn't men suck and they need to die. We need to not be attached to finding out our identity in the person we date. you know, and find out about ourselves. And I think what the movie is saying is that's really all women want too, right? So it is a film from a woman's perspective on the matter, and you need to be able to watch it and have your mind open to saying, hey, I'm going to learn something here that I don't know normally. And that's how you grow. I just, any idiot fucking, they went in with a preconceived notion.
Right. Right.
And I think if you don't do that, you're going to find a pretty good movie, because I think the whole point is that it does play with stereotypes, and that's the whole point. Literally, she's called Stereotypical Barbie. So yeah,
you're right.
And I agree. The people that have criticized the film, are probably, you know, watch Fox News.
Right. all right. So, it's draft night. So let me get it out of the way. Do you recommend this one?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. I look for it. I always love fun, playful movies. Like when we go back way deep in the catalog at the movie Voices, I liked that movie because it was fun and playful. There was a lot of dark matter to it, but I just love movies that look like people.
That was very
fun.
Much a movie like this, right? Had a musical number. It was funny and when it needed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't as good as this.
No,
but
it was still a good movie. Yeah. But yeah, I just like playful movies that feel different. And there is no movie that I can point to that's like this. And in the generation of every movie's the same, you know, it goes without saying that this is a full recommendation.
Yeah, I'm gonna also recommend it. Greta Gerwig is like you said, on her way to being.
I'm so surprised how few movies she's done.
Well, I think she's being very selective in the movies she makes. When she first accepted the gig to do the Chronicles of Narnia or whatever film, I was a bit surprised, is because that's a big budget, I think Warner Brothers movie. And it's a bit, it's her first.
Wasn't it coming to Netflix? I don't know.
But it's her first foray into the commercialization of filmmaking, right? Movie made for entertainment rather than for a purpose. Yeah, go ahead. You're giving me faces. Go ahead.
I am, because we just watched Barbie.
No. But the Greta Gerwig didn't make this movie to make money. No, honestly, Warner Brothers probably didn't know this movie was going to make a shit ton of money. They're hoping now that by hiring her to direct a Narnia film, that's going to make a ton of money. Is because
it's a Netflix film. It'll probably go into Hollywood, you know, but Netflix owns it.
Oh.
Or whatever. It's called Untitled Netflix Chronicles of Narnia TV Movie. I don't know.
Anyways.
But I do think that she did this as a job. She didn't do it for free. I don't know. Like, I think because
you're
cinema
being very literal
money are
again.
All...
You're being very literal.
Because that's the way to do it.
I'm just asking you to think about behind the film.
What I'll do for the remainder of this argument is
there's no argument
just
here.
Nod and accept
there's no argument here. You're taking my
Listen,
point very
when
literally.
We get ready to draft, just know that I'm going to be doing this with glee, what I'm going to do.
Listen, I already know
month.
You're picking a bunch of garbage.
You have no idea.
Anyways, I'm going to recommend it. It's a great film. It'll be in my top, probably my top three here in a couple weeks. But
shoot, you don't know what I'm going to pick for December.
That's true.
I'm going to blow your balls off.
Watching
the trailer for this one now.
It's draft night.
Yeah. So we're doing R-rated Christmas movies. Now, I want to say something to you. I would like to pick second.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a movie that I want to watch at the end of the year.
Okay.
And it will become apparent why. Now, I will say the movie I'm going to pick, the second film I'm going to pick, doesn't fit the theme directly. But it kind of does. You'll see. And I think you'll appreciate.
Is that a movie set at Christmas, or is it movie about Christmas?
We'll get to it. Right. But because just know that this is one time I'm consciously
not picking the theme.
I'm not picking totally off base, right? Like, I'm not going, shit, Terminator. We're watching Terminator. I'm not doing that. It will still, it is Christmas adjacent in a very literal fashion.
Okay.
So you will see when we get to it, but let me go ahead and get my notes out so we don't forget like we did last month about what we were watching.
All right, so I'm picking first.
You're going to pick first because I want the last movie of the year.
All right. I didn't write down the, I think it was from 2021 actually. But it stars Mel Gibson.
Okay. I know what it is.
We're going to watch the movie Fat Man.
Fat Man. That was on my short list.
Have you seen it?
No, no.
Okay, good.
It was on my short list. It just reminded me a lot of Violent Night.
And you've seen Violent Night.
And I loved Violent Night. I thought it was a whole lot of fun.
Okay. I haven't seen Violent Night.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should watch it.
Well, I mean, it just came out, so. Maybe and I'm like, I'm not a big fan of what's his face in the movie.
Oh, Arbor.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a fun movie though.
John
Leguizamo's in it. I love John Leguizamo.
Does he play an elf?
No, he plays the bad guy.
Oh, which is also appropriate.
Now,
but yeah. Anyway, Fat Man, starring Mel Gibson as the titular character,
Fat Man. Okay. You ready for me to ruin your Christmas beer?
Yes, please. Please.
I'm very excited.
I
debated. So one of the movies I debated on doing, but it's kind of well-trod territory, was Love Actually, which is a fantastic film.
Yeah.
I watched it many times. My wife introduced me to it. But I'm not picking that.
Okay.
I'm picking a film starring, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Are you ready to go to the wrestling corner?
Okay. Let's go to the wrestling corner.
It stars Bill Goldberg. Okay.
You said it stars Bill Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg plays the lead.
Why?
Film from 2005, a film I've seen. Get this. Hold on.
Okay.
You're losing your shit.
I'm just...
Okay. It runs...
You're knowingly... Okay.
No! You might love this.
Yeah, I might. You're
okay,
right.
Let me tell you the runtime.
Okay, all right.
It runs for an hour and 18 minutes. Okay? You're in and out. You can watch this bathroom break.
I'm back a little bit on board.
Yeah, you are. I want to read you the synopsis.
Okay.
Santa Claus
is
actually a demon who lost the bet with an angel, so he becomes the giver of toys and happiness. But when the bet is off, he returns to his evil ways. Bill Goldberg is playing Santa Claus in the film Santa's Sleigh.
And I'm Slay is S-L-A-Y?
Yes, correct.
Okay. That movie's going to be so bad.
It's going to be the best. I've seen it before, and you know what? It is probably not going to be great, but you know.
I didn't write down what year this my second film is from, but I believe it's pretty recent. I have not seen it. I went looking for R-rated Christmas films. And stumbled upon this one and looked at its IMDb score and its Rotten Tomato score, and it was all very positive.
That never affects my judgment, though.
Yeah. So, and you can look up the year. I don't remember what it is, but it is a musical.
Okay.
A musical set at Christmas.
All right.
About zombies.
I'm on board with this shit.
It's called Anna and the Apocalypse.
I did see that on the list. I didn't look much deeper, but I'm excited.
Listen, I read the premise, and I was like, on board. Let's go.
What's funny to me is how much better you are at picking horror movies in the month of December than you are in October.
Violent Night was on my short list.
So. I'm mad at you. Violent Night's really good. I think you should watch it.
I mean, I probably will. But.
It's fun. Now, I think, again, you will excuse this, but like I said, it is adjacent. Matter of fact, it takes place in December.
Okay.
Right?
It's supposed to take place at Christmas. But okay, good.
No, it's December, which is Christmas adjacent. It is rated R, which is the most important thing. It is another slasher.
Okay.
Okay. Runs for an hour and 25 minutes.
Okay.
Guess the year?
1982.
Okay. It doesn't star anyone of note that anyone you'll care about.
Oh, is this... I saw this on the list of R-rated films. I don't remember the name, but I know which one you're going to pick.
Which one?
I don't remember the name.
This is why it is not a Christmas movie.
Okay.
All the events take place on New Year's Eve. We're going to watch New Year's Evil to close out our year.
Oh, that wasn't the movie I was thinking of.
I didn't think so. But you see what I mean? Like, it's... Yes, it's not a Christmas movie, but... Christmas is directly followed by New Year's.
Correct.
We're ending our year.
Yeah.
It's a great way to cap off the year. I don't think it's a huge crime.
It's not a... You pick whatever you want.
No, I really don't like that because then... well, I don't want to keep harping on Western month, but I think that...
Always comes back to Western.
This month is close enough for me.
It is.
And because I wanted it to be the last thing we pick on New Year's Eve...
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was on my short list.
Yep, I had that one too.
Bad Santa was on my short list.
Never seen it, but on...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Never seen Bad Santa.
I just...
That would have been a good one then.
I just hadn't the...
Because you've seen Fat Man.
Nope.
Oh, you haven't seen Fat Man. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I don't really do Christmas movies, to be honest. I don't have a lot of them that I watch.
Okay.
So...
Well, okay, so run it down.
Okay, here we go. Start the month off. Why is my mic going flaccid if you're watching the video?
Whoa.
Look at it. Oh, it's sad. We're watching Fat Man, starring Mel Gibson. Second, probably a more popular and famous leading man. We're going to watch Bill Goldberg in Santa's Sleigh. And then we're going to watch Anna and the Apocalypse. And then we're going to close off the year by watching New Year's Evil.
It's a very eclectic collection of movies.
I think it's a good selection of movies. There's a lot of blood and guts in the... Like I said, I really wish you would come at this in the same way in October. Like, you don't know how to pick horror movies in October.
In October, got you.
You've never been able to do it.
I'll surprise you next year.
No, yeah, well, you will.
But it won't be on theme.
No.
Anyways.
At least I admit when my stuff's not on theme.
I'm not going to engage with you right now.
It's fine.
Anyways, once again, we want to give a shout out to the Montreal Canadian alt-pop band Group Project.
We haven't been recording. Shit. I'm just playing. Go ahead.
We would be, the audio would be terrible, but that's what we would have.
Yep.
Anyways, give a shout out to the Montreal Canadian alt pop band Group Project with their song MCK. They're doing big things. We appreciate them. Allow us to use their music here on our podcast. Hit the show notes, get all the links to their social media, give them a like, follow, subscribe. If you want to follow our podcast on social media, you can do so at Movie Draft House. We're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, right here on YouTube where you're watching us. So hit the subscribe button when it pops up so you don't miss any future content here on the podcast. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter and let him know that, hey, New Year's Eve doesn't get its own theme, you can find him on Twitter at Podcast by Jeff.
And if you want to get in touch with Mark and you want to tell him, hey, bitch,
hey,
what's
bitch
with all the horror movies? And it's not even October. You can find him on Twitter at I Heard You.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because when you're looking at the list of R-rated Christmas films, it's predominantly horror.
Yeah, like Love Actually
is an outlier.
One of the few
right
earnest Christmas
right
films
right
that's rated R.
Right. It's almost like... If your movie's going to be an R-rated Christmas film, you have to have it.
It has to be about murder
right
and death.
Right,
right. Which I'm fine with. Maybe next year I'll do R-rated Halloween films and Mark will be required. He'll watch Halloween Actually and it's just
right
a love song.
Anyways, Jeff, any words of wisdom?
Not a one. Watch Barbie. It's really good. We'll see you next month.
dancing in your marble counter kitchen. You left for the week and asked me if I missed you. You went to the beach and sent me bikini pictures, but my oh my, I want you to be mine, oh mine. I'm not looking for a best friend, I'm looking for someone to take out every weekend. And I'll always write you letters, but I'll never press send. You can let me down easy, but I'm still gonna pretend that I've got options. But all my eggs are in your basket, like you've got this secret code and I just cannot seem to crack it. She loves it when I chase her like that soda for your vodka. I can't wait to say I've got you while we're kissing in your marble counter kitchen. Is she just looking for a best friend? I'm looking for someone to take out every weekend. And I'll always write you letters, but I'll never press send. You can let me down easy, but I'm still gonna pretend that I've got options. But all my eggs are in your basket, like you got this secret code and I just cannot seem to crack it. She loves it when I chase her like that soda for your vodka. I can't wait to say she's